Welcome back to another exciting episode of Mental Health Matters. I am Dr. Scott Terry, and with us today, you're listening to KRUU FM 100.1 on your FM dial.
Fairfield, Iowa.
And everywhere on the internet.
And solar powered.
And archived. Rob, you're supposed to say something.
Oh, all right. All right. Today's program, we have a person on the phone with us from Sudan. Is that right?
No. She's in Europe. She's in Holland,
okay.
But she
works her.
She works with people. She'll introduce her same. She's a beautiful person. We also have one of my great interns. We have such wonderful interns at the Art and Counseling Center. And today's intern, Lance, is here to mostly observe, but to say hi for a second.
Hello, everyone.
And today's episode, we're continuing just a few more episodes on PTSD relief and looking at PTSD around the world. And that's what's so fascinating about not just this condition, but what we can do to really make an impact. Even if you don't have PTSD, just whatever you're going through, the fact that there's relief and ways to get through things is just really important to consider. And you could almost think of PTSD as a way to think about for yourself, is there another way that I could transform myself so that I am free of whatever is going on in my life and so that I can make a difference in the world around me as I make a difference within myself? So, our special guest today, calling in from Holland, is Lido. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Lido Meiles, and I'm very, very happy that Scott gave us the possibility to talk to you and explain about PTSD relief in Africa, but not just in Africa, but basically in whatever country comes upon solution to this problem. My husband and I are working for the TM organization, and we're also working with David Shapiro to help him setting up organization PTSD Relief for Africa, but later on also countries in the world. So basically the story.
And you're for people who meditate, they might know your husband is a Raj and you're a Rajestri, but also you come from a background of social anthropology, and you've done some amazing things to try and help people throughout the world. But you also want to tell some stories about South Sudan and some other places. So where would you like to start today?
Yeah, let us start with South Sudan, because it's a country which became independent on the 9th of July, 2011, and everybody was very happy it became independent of Sudan. It's the sort of southern part, it was and is the southern part of Sudan. And Sudan is mainly Muslim, the southern part is more Christian. There's also quite some difference in tribes. So they were extremely happy that they had a new nation, and everybody was extremely optimistic about what was going to happen. A lot of foreign companies coming in, and they basically grew out of their independence in the sense that they had most of the oil fields within their borders. So, you know, it all looked very bright, the whole future. And then 2012, they really started building up the country, building up their educational system. And in 2012, this, you know, old tribal wars started again between the prime minister and his deputy minister, one being from the Dinka, which is the biggest tribal group in South Sudan, and the other being from the Nuer, which is the second biggest group. Tribal group in South Sudan. And along these lines, a lot of fighting started. And that sort of plunged the whole country back into, you know, what they were before, 50 years of civil war. basically. So,
except now it's a war between two countries, essentially. Because between South... go ahead.
It used to be a war between Sudan and South Sudan. That's and then after independence...
War. Yeah, it's now an internal war, yeah.
A civil
war. Yeah.
Yeah, a civil war started between, you know, these two big tribal groups in South Sudan.
Yeah, and there's more than 2 million people on the move, 90,000 refugees, you were telling me before. They're fleeing their neighborhood countries, even Sudan, you know. How would you say it?
Meaning that's... I would say if there's any country in the world where the situation is very desperate, it is South Sudan. Sort of forgotten because it you know, it's apparently not so interesting for the news, but it's really... one country which is in the worst condition in any way possible. Like, you know, the illiteracy rate is enormous. You know, only 16% of the ladies can read, for example, and that is a very good indicator. But also there's not enough medical services. There are not enough schools. Most of the children never even enter a school, and there's basically nothing. And the problem, of course, is you make a country independent, but people who are running the country are the soldiers who have been fighting Sudan for a long time. So there's not really an education in administration or an education in anything. There's a desperate situation, we would say, and in such a situation it's always the women and the children who suffer most. You know, the men can always become soldiers, which they do. It's the only profession available for them, but it's the women and the children who are chased from their houses, who have to go through the most horrible atrocities and who are, you know, don't have a basis, don't have roots, don't have anything anymore.
Is there any stories that you could tell us about somebody so that we could get a little bit more feeling of what's going on there?
Personal.
Yeah. I'd love to tell a personal story of a man we encountered as a TM teacher from Australia, and he worked there for a couple of months in South Sudan, and he met with this very special man who is the head of a very big secondary school in Juba, which is the capital of South Sudan, and he initiated him. Then he had to leave because the situation got very bad in South Sudan. Then this civil war started in 2012. But he kept in contact with the man, and the man kept on meditating, and he's now preparing to go to TTC, which means teacher training course, which means that when he will come back, he'll be able to teach the children secondary school. He runs a big secondary school in Juba, more than 1,000 students. Then he will be able to them transcendental meditation and release.
But what is this man? What did this man go through? And what are the experiences of the individuals? I hear how bad it is, but I was wondering if you could tell us something about somebody you might have, like this man. What did he go through before learning to meditate, and what changed by meditating? Why meditate?
What changed is that he said, you know, my outside world is just anywhere where I look, it's just war and the signs of war and the signs of decay. And, you know, my children in my school, they're all badly hurt in one way or another. And when I start to meditate, then I experience this inner silence, this inner peace, and that really carries me. Be optimistic about what's going to happen in my country. And also, you know, it's the responsibility on my shoulders that something needs to be done. And it's not by talking, and it's not by discussing, and it's not by, you know, there are absolutely no other means than going beyond your own mind, so to say, and going to the self and finding the peace and let others experience that. And people do that in groups, then we know that there is this beautiful effect on a whole country.
Later way, this is Rob, and every now and then we have to interrupt just to announce what we're doing here. So this is Mental Health Matters on KRUU Radio 100.1 FM in Fairfield, Iowa. I'm sorry the interruption, but go ahead.
Is there something else you'd like to tell us about? You know, you had mentioned this particular man. Is there some other story or anything else we should know about Sudan, or did you want to tell us about some other countries? And by the way, we're talking about PTSD relief, and you could also go to the website, really fantastic website with videos and all kinds of stuff, just really some great work that's being done on PTSD relief in Africa and around the world, actually. And the website, would you like to say the website?
I think you'd be very much better to do that.
All right, it's www.ptsdreliefnow.org. That's www.ptsdreliefnow.org. To find out more information about PTSD and what's being done around the world to make a difference. And people here that Lidwa is talking about is learning meditation as a means to combat PTSD, which has shown dramatic effects. And I've noticed this as a clinician for many years, that meditation is an incredibly useful tool in looking at PTSD relief. And especially when you can combine it with so much of the other basics of lifestyle changes, exercise, meditation, diet, sleep, you know, taking care of yourself, more social interactions, more ways to find purpose in life. Sometimes different psychotherapies, from exposure therapy to CBT to simply clear trauma or rapid resolution trauma is one of my favorite techniques for dealing with trauma. But there are many, many possible ways. But in Africa, all the other tools aren't really there, especially with this kind of poverty. And so so the only thing available is people to learn meditate if they can, which is shown to be tremendous benefit and transformation of people.
Later away, where in South Sudan is PTSD relief operating? I mean, are they in the schools, or do they have centers, or where are they operating?
No, we were in the process of setting something up, and then this civil war started, 2012. So we had to pull out our people from there.
Okay.
And basically there were no South Sudanese TM teachers yet. So that's what we're working on now, to get people from the country itself, because they're living there and they can easily get in and out, and in this way, we will try to solve the problem for that country. We're helping to try to solve the problem. It's, by the way, talking about the website, you know, if you look at that website, www.ptsdreliefnow.org, one thing you should really watch is this really beautiful, it's a very short movie on Esperance. It's a lady who came from South Sudan, who went to most horrible atrocities there, and they made a small movie They made a small movie on her before she started to meditate, and then 1 month after she had learned to meditate and had been meditating regularly. And the difference in this woman is really amazing. You know, for me, that was one of the most moving things I've ever seen in my life, actually. You know, the way she changed and the way how she has become so optimistic now about her life. And we just heard that she and her daughter both are interested to also learn to become a teacher of transcendental meditation and helping the country further. So that's something we'd really like to advise you to watch, that moving on Esperance.
I think it's interesting, here in the West, it becomes very easy to get jaded. Oh, it's just another thing, or is it just another technique? Why are you talking about meditation? It's just another thing. But it can be, especially for this condition, and the more dramatic the condition, the more you can see the power. It takes all that cynicism, that jadedness away from us and go, wow, it really, there's things that really we can do to make a difference. And something all of us could do to make a difference in the lives of others and in the lives of ourselves. And so really trying to find those paths, whatever your path is, to healing. And what's so amazing is that these people are finding the path to meditate, to heal, and then want to give back and heal others. And that's such a profound notion of healing. Viktor Frankl, one of my favorite people ever, talked about from the concentration camps of finding purpose in life. And so it's not just healing yourself, but finding that purpose, that meaning, that drive to make a difference. And that's, completes the healing cycle.
Yeah, and it's those people are most motivated because they themselves are the example, and they themselves have gone through that whole process, and so they can so easily relate to people who are still in this PTSD condition. They know they've gone through it, and they've learned that there is a solution, and they want to give it to other people as well. So that is really beautiful, I think. And, right. And talking about PTSD, it's, in general, you find, wherever you look or whenever you talk to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, that in general they say there is basically nothing which really heals it. You can do long, long therapies, and it helps somehow. But the way transcendental meditation does it, and is absolutely unique. There's absolutely no other technique like that. And we should be very grateful that we have a technique like that, and that you're able to reach out to the whole world with it. And South Sudan is just one example. Another example is in Namibia, which is also one of our African countries, and we also find amongst the poor population that there are quite a lot of numbers of, also among the children, also among the elderly people who have been fighting their independence war against South Africa. And there, it's the same story. It's we have a lady who is actually on CTC now. She used to be in the military, and she relates very easily to the military people. And she says there's a really high number of PTSD victims in the military, with which they have no idea how to deal. So she's very happy and extremely motivated to come back to Namibia in a couple of months and then start her program there of PTSD relief in the military. And of course, military is a beautiful group to coach because they, you know, they have a very high level of discipline, and when it's sort of posed from up to down, then it goes easy, and also level of discipline. So they introduce it into their normal daily routine, then it's very easy to group together.
You are listening to mental
people,
health.
So we basically need only, like, you know, 200 people doing their meditation program together every day, morning and evening.
You are listening to KRUU Radio 100.1 in Fairfield, Iowa, and this is Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. And Lita Way, can you, in your email that you sent to us, you mentioned also another country, Namibia. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's what we were just talking about Namibia. It's a country next to South Africa. It used to be a German colony, actually, so there's still a lot of people speaking German there. And it's became independent from South Africa in 1990. And what I said, there is a lot of PTSD amongst the people who were fighting at that time. But also, in general, we find a lot of PTSD there amongst children because it's basically a country which has a very rich white population and a very poor Ak population, and the differences between these two are one of the biggest in the world, actually. And so it's, you know, the general population of Namibia is very, 50% are working in agriculture, and there's a lot of hidden. And it's a country where these differences are getting bigger and bigger.
Mm. So what you're saying, and there's, of course, a big debate in the U.S. right now with the presidential elections brewing up, bizarrely so far in advance. But and some of the things that have been brought up looks at this notion of poverty and wealth in this dispute. And disparity, and it really can create mental health issues, just being in poverty and having the gap between wealth, money, and non-money. How would you say that politically, Rob? Rob's the politician here.
Well, it's economic disparity between, those that have all the money and those that don't have any money, and it is probably this year, this presidential election will be one of the top three issues that people be debating, because not only, by the way, in the United States, but also worldwide, particularly in France and other places.
Well, in Namibia as well, as you say.
Yes.
And so why do you think that would be a mental health issue?
Well,
what I wanted to say is this mental health issue comes from that, but it comes from basically the consequence of this big difference in income. Because the poor children, they go to poor schools, or they don't go to schools at all. There's a big health issue in Namibia with AIDS. About 25% of the people have AIDS of the adult population, and there's not enough doctors, not enough hospitals, not enough help, not enough. So it's not just the economic disparity, it's the consequences of that, you know, there are no good schools, and children live in poverty, and there's a lot of violence because of that, and a lot of children they don't have their parents anymore, so that also creates a lot of negativity and a lot of PTSD.
That's absolutely right. And I think one of the things that's happened in the United States, which in Namibia probably is evident in the environment, but it's only recently that the billionaires have gotten visibly involved in politics and kind of run away with our political system, and now more people are beginning to see that the top 10% are controlling more than just houses in the Hamptons and other places. But in Namibia, I'm sure that the disparity between the wealthy and the poor is probably very evident to everybody in everyday life. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. It is very much so. It's because Namibia has a lot of, there are diamonds, there's gold, there's a lot to be found there in the soil, and it's the sort of the rich people who dig it out, have the poor people rather digging it out for them, and they are making the profit, and poor people just, they're underpaid and underfed and they suffer all these illnesses.
So yeah, it just seems to me that as you look at that issue, that when you get down to a person standing, seeing something, somebody that has everything, and you have nothing, that certainly would be a contributor to any mental health situation for an individual. I think we're kind of getting down toward the end.
Yeah, we only have a couple minutes left. Is there something else that you'd like to tell us, a story or something else you'd like to finish up with?
Yeah, what I'd love to finish off with is that we've heard that up till now it was only men talking, and we would really like to put more attention on the ladies and the children, because if your mother is not okay, so to say, then it's very difficult for a child to grow up normally, and when children have PTSD, then they can become a lost generation. So it's, we have the chance now to change that. And somebody pointed out to me, it's like $150 only for which you can give to the PTSD relief. And then with that $150, one child can be saved. And if everybody gives $150, then they're saved, all of them. We have this beautiful technique now, and we have the second element to solve these problems, especially in Africa, but also all over the world. It's the same kind of problems. Soldiers going to fight in Iraq and having PTSD, and a policeman and fire policeman who face the most traumatic scenes which they have to deal with afterwards. It's everywhere in our society also, and it's really wonderful that there is something special now.
Lita Way, I want to really thank you for taking the time to talk with us. One more time before we end this, give the website and other places that people can get in touch with PTSD relief.
Yes, the website is www.ptsdreliefnow.org, and we also have a Facebook page.
Oh, great.
www.facebook.com/AfricanPTSDRelief. So those two, and then you can always send an email to Mr. David Shapiro. David Shapiro in one word, 108@gmail.com.
Great, thank you. And you could also email us at mentalhealthmatters@KRUUFM100.1 on your FM dial. Thank you so much, and it was a pleasure, a joy to speak with you today. Bye, everyone.
Tune in next week. Thanks.